This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. This year is the 10th anniversary of the battle to save the South Central Farm, a vibrant urban farm in South Central Los Angeles that had been taken over by mostly immigrants as a space to grow a multitude of fresh food crops that fed families. The battle was an intense one in a city and county that was only about 100 years ago dominated by farmland. In fact, according to a book by my guest and author Rachel Searles, Los Angeles County was once the agricultural center of North America. How did the nation's most populous county become such a center? And how did it then give away to an urban metropolis? Rachel Searles is a sustainable food systems advisor for the University of California Cooperative Extension in Los Angeles County. She's been involved in school gardens and community gardens and urban agriculture around LA for more than 25 years. And she's the author with Judith Gerber of the book we're about to discuss. It's called From Cows to Concrete, The Rise and Fall of Farming in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program, Rachel.
Thank you, Sonali. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first of all, it seems as though one has to start when we talk about the history of Los Angeles and farming, that it's also in part the history of this part of the country's colonial history, colonial era, not just Native Americans who were farming, but also what played into this history, as your book illustrates, is Mexico's War of Independence, because of course, this part of the country was once Mexico. How does that history figure into the history of Los Angeles County as farm country?
Well, it figures in greatly, Sonali, because as you say, this was part of Mexico, and before that it was part of New Spain, colonial Spain. And what we had in that era is a legacy of land grants where people were granted large tracts of grazing land where they raised cattle. And they were also self-sufficient farmers, but mostly ranchers. And ranching was the first economy of Los Angeles. Ranchers sold cow hides more so than beef. And cow hides were sort of the first item of trade in Los Angeles and California as a whole, really. So the first economy of Los Angeles was built on cow hides and cattle ranching. And the legacy of ranching, and we can talk a little bit, if you like, about how that came to an end, but it sort of set the stage for future farming and suburban sprawl as all those large ranchos were broken up.
And what about the history of the missions in Los Angeles County, of course, which were all throughout California? How did that figure into farm history?
Well, greatly, because the native people of Los Angeles did become, oftentimes they were coerced into becoming the first farm laborers. They labored at the missions, such as the San Gabriel Mission here in Los Angeles, and they helped to transform these places into places where new crops, European crops and South American crops were tested out to see how they would do in this new place. And so the San Gabriel Mission in particular is often called the mother of California agriculture. And, you know, we see here the roots of the citrus industry, the wine grape industry, the olive industry, and that later became massive California industries. And I think as we researched this book, I mean, it was terribly disturbing and sad what happened to the native people of Los Angeles and California as a whole as they were incorporated into the missions and into the agriculture that grew out from that.
And so, you know, one might be tempted to sort of romanticize the history of LA as farmland, but certainly it's anything but romantic, but it is what it is. And looking at back at that history is certainly fascinating. I mean, today we think of California wine country as Napa, but apparently it used to be LA, the center of wine country, used to be Los Angeles, which is kind of hard to believe. I don't know how huge the wine industry of the United States was at the time, but tell us a little bit about that aspect of historical farming in LA.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the wine grape industry sort of took root at the missions because the mission padres were you know, wanting to have sacramental wine for mass and for guests who came. And so slowly it spread out into surrounding communities. And so some of the first farms in Los Angeles were growing grapes, and it did become the first center for wine production in California. And the stuff wasn't very good to drink, apparently. Someone once referred to it as fit only for sailors to drink, the wine that was produced in Los Angeles. But that was transformed by French immigrants who came and brought French winemaking technology here, including aging the wine, using European varieties of grapes, and other techniques that made it suddenly amazing wine that was then sold all over the country and all over the world.
I want to talk about the sort of environmental aspects, but I also first want to talk about the worker aspects of farming. I mean, those two are really important issues when we talk about farming and farmland. Your book chronicles, and even in very interesting photographic way, chronicles the history of Chinese migrant workers, of Mexican migrant workers. When you have huge tracts of farmland, you need lots of cheap labor as farm hands, right? So how important is this history, the history of migrant labor, which continues, of course, to today being an important contemporary issue, but of course, if LA was a center of farming and agriculture in North America over 100 years ago, it was also the center of migrant farm labor, right?
Yes, indeed, Sonali. And, you know, this history of immigrant farm labor that came here, oftentimes folks who were brought here to make a new life, I mean, it is really some of the most inspiring and also some of the most tragic part of the history of our farming here in this county. And of course, it starts with the Native Americans, who we talked about a little bit already. But, you know, the U.S. and California had policies that made it very difficult for indigenous individuals to survive and to raise their families. And so as Native people left the area or basically were killed off, farmers needed new sources of labor. And so first we had the Chinese immigrants. They had been brought here to build the Transcontinental Railroad. And as that finished up with the last spike in Promontory, Utah, the Chinese workers who had blasted through, you know, hundreds of miles of rock and built this amazing railway, they needed new work. And so they came to the agricultural parts of California, including Los Angeles, and they were very skilled farm workers. They often came with amazing skills from their homeland, but it wasn't long before we see what has been such a thread to our history with our immigrant community, where they start to be demonized for supposedly taking jobs away from other people. So this happened with Chinese laborers. They were demonized by mostly white Americans who were upset because there was a national depression in the 1870s and the 1880s. So they were looking for somebody to blame, and there were anti-Chinese societies that were formed and ultimately forced immigration policies that made it very difficult for Chinese people to come here. So then you have subsequent waves of changing demographics of our farm laborers, and it almost in every single cycle of that, you see them struggle to make a new home here. You see a reactionary agenda against them, and you see policies put in place that makes it very difficult for them to do things like buy land and become citizens.
Of course, echoes of that continue till today in California and other parts of the country as well. What about the environmental factors? I mean, we are in a part of the country, we meaning because my program is based here in Los Angeles, although it's heard nationally. Los Angeles is a part of the country that has historically had problems with water. And of course, currently we're in a horrific drought throughout the state that's also threatening farming here in the entire state of California. But even back then, water and the water needed to irrigate farmland was a huge issue, which has its own separate history of which many books have been written. But bring that into the history of farming in Los Angeles, the challenge to find water.
Yes, certainly it's been a challenge from day one, although ironically, Los Angeles used to have a lot more water than it does now, but much of that water has been tapped out and redirected and so forth. So originally—
You mean before we had an actual river that wasn't concrete, a concrete gutter, yes.
We had a lot of underground water resources, aquifers, and we had a lot of streams and rivers that have been paved over and are no longer here. So it's a common misconception that Los Angeles is a desert. It is not a desert. It never has been a desert. Hmm. It's a Mediterranean climate. But we did have more ample water supplies in the past. But nonetheless, water has always been incredibly important to agriculture and its success in Los Angeles. At the very beginning, the Spanish colonists brought their technologies from other parts of the New World and from Spain, where they had different irrigation technologies like trenches and ditches and water wheels and other kinds of things that they used to bring water to their fields. And most of the water did come from the Los Angeles River, which was prone to flooding and all kinds of problems. So ultimately, as you mentioned, that was paved over in the 1930s. But I think the most famous representation of how Los Angeles has handled its need for water, both agricultural and otherwise, is the creation of the Los Angeles Aqueduct, where water was, through amazing feats of engineering, was brought from more than 200 miles to the north. The city of Los Angeles constructed this aqueduct. It took water away from farmers at the source of the water in the Owens Valley. And it's something they've never really forgiven us for here in, right, in Los Angeles. And in the early years of the aqueduct, it was often bombed and other things were done to it in the name of justice for those farmers trying to get their water back that was taken from them.
So we know that eventually Los Angeles managed to become the center of farming industry, as your book shows, and those vintage postcards of orange country that we sort of see as being quintessentially Californian. Many of them depicted farms in Los Angeles. Tell us about the kind of crops that were essentially grown in Los Angeles County that made it the center of agriculture in North America. Was it mostly oranges and citrus, or was it all sorts of produce?
Well, Sonali, I think oranges and citrus in general were sort of the most iconic crop. It was the one often depicted on those postcards that brought people here. And indeed, we were a huge producer of citrus, but we grew many other things as well. Walnuts were another huge crop, all kinds of different tree crops, peaches and apples and cherries and almonds. We also had a huge array of vegetable crops, spinach and lettuce and celery and green beans and lima beans. So many different things. It was truly amazing, the diversity of the crops that were grown here commercially.
And so then, of course, we know that Los Angeles also has this history of transforming into a metropolis and eventually becoming, rather than the center of agriculture, the center of movie making, Hollywood and Disneyland. How fast did that transformation happen, and why did that transformation happen? Why did LA go from being the center of agricultural industry to essentially not?
Well, Sonali, I think it's all about real estate. And it happened very fast, really. During World War II, local food production was a national priority because the U.S. government was trying to get farmers here on the home front to grow as much food as they could so that food could be shipped overseas and there would be ample food here for our residents. So there was a lot of work during World War II on behalf of the government to make sure that there was a lot of farming going on and that people had victory gardens. And basically, that as much land could be in production as possible. But after the war was over, that focus on local food production totally went away. And what took its place was basically, rampant development here in Los Angeles because of the GI Bill, because of all the developing industry in Los Angeles. People wanted to come here. They came for its sunshine. They came for the jobs. They came for many different reasons. But as they came, they wanted homes with backyards and schools nearby and shopping nearby and freeways to get quickly from here to there. And so a massive wave of development from the mid-1940s up through 1960 or so pretty much pushed out a large majority of the farmland. I think we lost about 40% of our farmland just in the 1950s.
And because it was much more lucrative to sell land to homeowners and real estate developers than to farm it.
Absolutely. And there were not a lot of policies in place to support small farmers at that time. So let's say you were a small farmer in the 1950s trying to hang on to your farm in the San Fernando Valley. Your property taxes might go up 100, 200%, 300% even in just 1 year. And local packing houses were closing and all the other infrastructure of local agriculture. So at some point you start looking at those offers from developers and thinking, well, what can I do? I can't make a go of farming anymore. It's just not working.
And actually, I just want to step back for a minute. When we look at the farming, the historical farming in Los Angeles, how much of it were big industrial agribusinesses, if you will, basically owned by a family, owned by a corporation, and how many of them were small farms, maybe even farms, urban farms run by some of the migrant workers that once worked at the big farms? Was there a clear dichotomy between big farms versus small farms?
Yes, I would say that there definitely was. There were a lot of larger corporate farms that were, part of Sunkist, for example, or other associated with other large marketing associations. But there also was always a huge part of farming in Los Angeles that was about little tiny suburban farms. We had this movement called the small farm home movement, or sometimes the little lander movement, where people would buy homes that had 1 to 5 acres of property around them. And they tried to make a go of it as farmers, raising some chickens and some strawberries and some fruits and vegetables. The LA landscape was full of these small farm homes where people were farming pocket-sized suburban farms.
And so, of course, today when we talk about the issue of sustainability and climate change and, local food movements, all of these things are tied in together. And we have a history, not just in Los Angeles, but I'm sure in pockets around the country, where, of course, people were farming to feed themselves and feed their own communities. And now we have an industrialized food system where we import our food, so much of it, from far away, especially our audience who are not in California, getting it from far away, sometimes even other countries. But that history of farming remains. Are there urban farm spaces that have survived the transformation of Los Angeles, where people are continuing to grow food here?
Yes, I would say that there are. One community is on my mind because I was there in the last couple of weeks is Richland Farms. It's a community in the city of Compton, which is not a place where people expect to see urban farms and horseback riding and things like that. But it's one of the remaining small farm home communities of Los Angeles that was never built out as much as others have been. So you still have people on these big expansive properties with large backyards where they're raising oftentimes some goats and some cows, and they keep some horses and they have big gardens. So that's a place where you can still see that small farm heritage of Los Angeles. I think you can also see it in the advent of many community gardens and urban farms that have grown up in recent years.
such as, of course, the South Central Farm 10 years ago, over which there was a huge battle that sadly was lost. But the South Central farmers as a group continued. They continue to farm today in other parts of California and even sell their produce at farmers markets. And of course, today we have a massive rise of farmers markets. And actually, Rachel, I met you at my local farmers market where you told me about your book. And California has become a center of the farmers market movement, where farmers who are growing food locally come to these markets and sell them directly to customers and people who eat, which is all of us, rather than through big grocery store chains. And that is a movement that is quite large nationwide. Do you have a sense that someday Los Angeles County may become more of a farmland, maybe at least harken back to those positive aspects of its farming history as we, you know, sort of come to terms with our climate instability?
I think we have always had amazing home gardens and community gardens and small scale agriculture in Los Angeles. And I think that will continue. Angelenos are passionate gardeners, and national trends show that backyard and community gardening has really been on the increase for the last 5 years. And I think that will continue, especially here in Los Angeles, when we can garden year round. And because of all our sunshine and our amazing weather, we can have amazing, productive gardens. So I see a lot of backyard and small scale agriculture continuing here in Los Angeles. And also, Sonali, there's a lot of policy work that's happening that may make it easier for Angelenos to have small urban farms and more community gardens. I'm on the Los Angeles Food Policy Council, and they've done amazing work getting both the county and the city of Los Angeles to consider putting this new law into place. It comes from the state level. It's called AB 551, the Urban Agriculture Incentive Zone Act, and it gives private landowners incentive to allow their property to be used as urban farms and community gardens, which, I mean, if you've got land, you've certainly got no shortage of farmers in Los Angeles. I often think of it as a land of farmers without farms, because so many people have come here from other places where they were farmers.
Well, Rachel, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with your book.
Thank you.
Rachel Searles is the Sustainable Food Systems Advisor for the University of California Cooperative Extension in Los Angeles County. She's been involved in school and community gardens and urban agriculture around LA for more than 25 years. We've been discussing her new book that she's co-authored with Judith Gerber. It's called From Cows to Concrete, The Rise and Fall of Farming in Los Angeles. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.